a great big family. There are many children besides me. If you're wondering how he divides his time, just let me say I never stand in line. He loves me like I was his only child. I never felt so loved before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. He never favors me above the rest, but I can't help but feel that I am blessed. He treats me better, I often say, but then all my father's children feel that way. He loves me like I was his only child. Never felt so loved before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. As the world looks upon me as I travel along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, oh, I hope they can see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. Have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Well, I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new, and I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
I'm thankful to be here tonight. I appreciate the opportunity of preaching. I didn't give my testimony a while ago, but I'm thankful the Lord saved me and He saved my family. God's been good to us in that respect. We still have Rob and Paula that are still home. Paula's home a little bit of the time. She travels in gospel music, and she's traveling with us and going on north to do some singing and then be back in our part of the country. I'm thankful for a son-in-law that God gave us, David Pruitt, and he's been a blessing in our life, and it's a result of the ministry of this church, and I appreciate that. I want to preach tonight on Thanksgiving. Of course, you know, this is Thanksgiving week, tomorrow being Thanksgiving. We ought to give thanks every day, and it's, I trust that you do. But Thanksgiving, Psalms chapter 100, a very beautiful psalm. And it bears out the Thanksgiving message. We'll just read all five verses since it's a short chapter. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, not we ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. And be thankful unto Him and bless His name. I'd like to use one verse in the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse number 18. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I appreciated the sweet testimonies tonight of the things that you have to be thankful for. I want to preach on the other side of the coin tonight, on some things that I'm thankful that we don't have. First of all, I'm thankful we don't have a myth for a Bible. There's a lot of folks today that they don't know what they believe. They don't know which book to believe, and they don't know what to think about it. I want to give you several verses of Scripture, beginning in 2 Peter chapter number 1, and it's talking about the Word of God. In verse number 21, listen to what the Scripture says. I'm in 1 Peter. I knew it didn't read right. He said in verse 20, he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's this Bible that we hold. It's not a myth. It doesn't have to be updated as times go along. And I'm so thankful that we have something that we can anchor to in this shiftless generation that we live in. I'm thankful that it's inspired of God. In 2 Timothy, if you'd like to turn there, in chapter number 3, and the Bible tells us in verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes, it's the inspired Word of God. I'm thankful not only is it inspired of God, but I'm thankful for the power that it has. In Hebrew chapter number 4, and if you'll notice there about verse number 12, the Bible says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart." I was listening as this lady here testified that no one came by but God's word, and you have to have the word of God, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, whether it's the written word or whether it's the preached word or the testified word. But it's powerful tonight, and I'm so thankful that we don't have a myth for a Bible, that we have the inspired word of God. I'm thankful for its message, that you can begin and find that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, I should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm glad that whosoever includes you and I tonight, aren't you? I'm thankful that we don't have a myth for a Bible. Secondly, I'm thankful that I don't have a monkey for a mother. Now you'll get a life out of that, but that's what's being taught in our schools across the country. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to make a monkey out of God. Anybody that teaches evolution is trying to make a monkey out of God. I'll give you some scripture to back that up. Notice in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, look at verse number 26. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." He said, let us make man in our image. I'm here to tell you tonight, there's none of my ancestors swung by their tail. Some of them may have swung by their neck. I'm not sure of that. But I'm thankful that I believe the Bible, and I don't believe evolution, and I didn't have a monkey for a mother. Amen? Thirdly, and you'll like this, I'm thankful that you don't have a modernist for a pastor. Folks, you ought to really get on this. You don't know how thankful you ought to be for a man that loves God and will stay and preach the word of God and is not a modernist. Across our country tonight, modernism is trying to take over. Brother Lassley has been here 28 plus years preaching the word of God. And you can see the results of the word of God and results of a man. And it's not a modernist, it's a Bible-believing, a Bible-preaching preacher. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let me give you some verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." I don't know how many preachers in the congregation tonight, but if God's called you, you need to walk worthy. Notice what he said down a little further in verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Thank God for godly men. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, folks, it's a sad day we're living in when preachers are made fun of on TV and across the country because of some ungodly men that have brought reproach to the ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man, our conscience in the sight of God. You see, it's not always an easy matter for a man to preach the word of God. You ought to tell your pastor that you appreciate him and thankful that you don't have a modernist for a pastor. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me give you another verse or two. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Several years ago, my family and I were visiting my older brother. And he's the only one that didn't come out of the Methodist church when we began to make our changes. We were raised in an old-time Methodist church, and my brother is the only one that stayed a Methodist. We went to visit him and on Saturday and spent the night. And instead of going around town and finding a Baptist church, I told the wife, let's just go over and visit with him. And so we just went to church with him that morning. I thought we was going to church, but it didn't happen that way. We got into the building, and they said, we're sorry, we can't have Sunday school. The books didn't come in. Well, I had a book, and it had 66 books in it. I'm telling you like it is now. I'm not making fun of Methodists. I'm just pointing out what happened. It come time to preach. Preacher picked up his songbook, read out of the back of it, never opened his Bible, never once mentioned the name of Jesus Christ. I could still be entangled in that darkness. I could have a modernist as my pastor, but I thank God that he saved me and brought me out of that thing. Thank God tonight for your pastor. Fourthly, I'm thankful we don't have a morgue for a church. You ought to be thankful for the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. If you visit around much, you'll find that you don't find a church like this just any and everywhere you go. I'm talking about among Baptists even. You need to thank God for the freedom and the liberty and the spirit that you have in your church. I'm thankful for the church tonight. I'm thankful for its mission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The privilege tonight to be a part of his church, carrying out the great mission of getting the gospel out to a lost dying world. I'm thankful for the church's position. Matthew 16, 18. The Lord said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is on the move tonight. I mean, getting the gospel out and around the world. I don't know exactly your mission program. We pastor a little country church down in Arkansas, and the sun never goes down on the ministry of the Riverview Baptist Church. We've got missionaries around the world preaching the gospel, winning souls to Christ. Now you listen to me tonight. There is some places you can go in, and it's got church right over the outside door, but you get inside, it's a morgue. It's cold. It's dead. The gospel is not being preached. I'm thankful I don't have a morgue for a church. And I'm really thankful for this fifth thought tonight. I'm thankful I don't have a makeshift for salvation. Over half the folks that you come in contact with have a makeshift for salvation. They hope so. They may be so. They don't know. But Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." I'm glad I have a no-so salvation. There's a time I didn't. There's a time I didn't have any assurance, and I began to try to seek and find that assurance. You know what I found out? I found out I didn't have any salvation. But since I've been saved, I've had the assurance that I'm a child of God by faith, and I'm going to heaven. I'm thankful for that kind of salvation. It's in Christ Jesus. It's not in man. It's not in some kind of creed, or not in some kind of a man-made religion, but it's in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I'm thankful I've been cleansed from my sin. 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let me give you one of my favorite verses. I'm thankful that for my salvation that I know that I'm saved. Did you know that most of the folks that you meet do not know where they're going when they die? Isn't that sad? I'm glad tonight I use 1 John chapter 5. "He that believeth on the Son," verse 10, "the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Now listen to verse 11. "And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." If you don't have the Son, then you don't have life. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." I'm thankful I don't have to add to or take away or work for my salvation. Somebody testified earlier that it was finished. When the Savior hung there on that old rugged cross, and he said, "It's finished," and he gave up the ghost. God's redemption plan was complete in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But across our country tonight, folks have a makeshift. They're trying to hold on. They're trying to hold out. They're trying to work when it's all by grace through faith. It's all in Jesus Christ and him alone. And that brings me to my last thought tonight. I'm thankful I don't have a mummy for a Savior. Now you listen to what I'm going to say. I'm thankful it's not in some statue out yonder or some image that folks fall down and worship at. Luke chapter 2, the angel says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I'm thankful that our Savior is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I'm thankful that he came, he lived, and he died, was buried, and he rose again, and he's coming back one day. Our Savior. Stephen got a glimpse of him in Acts chapter 7 after they had beaten him and gnashed on him with their teeth and done all that they could to try to kill him. Let me just turn there and read you a verse or two. Acts chapter 7. I want to read about verse 56, somewhere thereabout. He said here in this closing verses of his testimony, verse 56, and he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeling down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I'm thankful that the Savior died for my sins. I see Calvary, where the Lamb of God was slain for the sins of the world. But across our country tonight, there's all kind of images, all kind of statues that are worshipped in the name of religion. There's just one tonight. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. I want to close with a testimony of one of the most wicked men that I ever knew. He had no use for the church, for Christianity, or for a preacher. I was a teenage boy. This man moved into our community. He had no way of transportation. My dad had a truck or a pickup, and every Saturday, either dad would take some folks to town to buy groceries, or I would. And this ungodly man became my friend. I got married, later on got moved away from home, got saved, God called me to preach. No one could witness to Mr. Wade about the Lord. My mom called me and said, you need to come home. Mr. Wade's got cancer of the throat. They don't give him long to live. I was just a young preacher boy, and I went to talk to Mr. Wade. He'd never talked to a preacher before. If he saw him coming, he'd go out the back door and head for the woods, or he'd curse him and be ugly to him. And I went into his home, and I said, after visiting a few minutes, I said, Mr. Wade, I want to talk to you about the Lord. He got real quiet. I talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he made no commitment. He made no effort to answer. I said, Mr. Wade, I've got to go, but I want to ask a favor of you. He said, all right. I said, they're having revival in this community, and I'm going to ask the pastor and the evangelist to come by and visit with you, and I want you to promise me you'll let them come in and talk to you. He said, all right. I left, and that week, that evangelist and pastor went by, and they led Mr. Wade to the Lord. He got saved. I went home for Thanksgiving that year, and I went to Mr. Wade's house. When I walked in, cancer had already eaten his throat out, and he was just a few days left to live. But he said to me, he said, Bill, said, do I look any different? And you know he did. He had Christ. And I said to him that day what I'm about to say to you tonight. I said, Mr. Wade, even though your health is gone, you have more to be thankful for this Thanksgiving than any other time in your life, because you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here tonight and you know Christ, there's no doubt about it. If you know that if you died tonight that you'd go to heaven because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got much to be thankful for. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, God loves you. Christ died in your place. God left the church here to be a lighthouse, a soul winning station. He left us His word that we might proclaim it and preach it, that you might know your need of a Savior. You might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Church, He's given you a pastor to lead you and to guide you. Done a great work. You've got much to be thankful for tonight. I want every head to be bowed. The song leader would come with a verse of invitation song. I wonder tonight before we sing, how many could say, "Preacher, I am thankful tonight that I have Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm not ashamed of it." Could I see your hands tonight? Would you hold them up high? God bless you. God bless you. You may put them down. Hands all over the building. Nearly every hand lifted. I wonder before we pray if there's one would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure tonight. I'd like to know." And you lift your hand. Let me remember you in prayer tonight. Anywhere. "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure. Pray for me." Could I see that hand? Would you let me pray for you? Father, I thank you tonight for your precious word. Lord, I thank you for saving sinners like us tonight. And Lord, for the testimony of these that know that they're saved. And Lord, I know we've got much to thank you for. But I feel you've spoken some hearts tonight. And perhaps they're not as thankful for the church or their pastor or the Word of God as they ought to be. And Lord, I just pray that your will be done in that heart and life. Have your way in this invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. While we stand, God's spoken to your heart on the first verse. Would you let God have His way tonight?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
You need to fill an old altar. You come on.
Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Play through softly again. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, won't you come? As we play this one more time, if God's spoken to your heart, won't you do it?